Hello and welcome to Nancy Graham the Space Ranger. This is chapter 17, so a hen, a daw, a tree, and away we go. The forenoon of the third day of the first human crewed mission to another planet involved three simultaneous events. One of those events involved European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMurrow accompanying a Martian sheriff and a Martian waitress slash astronaut called Martina Ruddlesplitch on a search through a Jupiterian forest to find his colleague mission specialist Nancy McGinley, who had been feeling the worst for wear after some halubleberry ingestion and took it upon herself to wander blindly away from the group. Now the second event involved a Jupiterian called Gumgogger Umterwackle, or Bit, having a halubleberry-induced dream while lying in a pool of puke at the edge of a stream in the Jupiterian forest of Proverbs and waiting for Bart, Martina and the sheriff to return. The third event involved Nancy going on a halubleberry-induced dream state wander, and it began immediately after the end of the last chapter, with Nancy stumbling through narrow gaps between forest vegetation. She could not say which direction she was going, only that the trees were growing increasingly closer together the further she travelled, and their branches were getting lower, until she came to a ravine, where the eastern glow of daybreak shone sideways into the deep, narrow, steep-sided gorge. Nancy was lost, dazed, and a little bit thirsty.
"Hey, you up there, could you give us a hand getting out?"
came a familiar voice from far below. Nancy crawled on her stomach to the edge of the ravine where the thick tree growth gave way to bright orange bare rock and looked down. She could make out three humanoid creatures hacking into a rough terrace cut into the steep rock wall of the gully below.
"Is that you, Bip?" she yelled. "Why, who's asking?"
came the voice again. Nancy strained her eyes. One of the three looked like Bip, but you could not be sure. And anyway, she reasoned, there might be loads of Jupiterians who sounded and looked like Bip. The rock terrace continued down as far as Nancy could see, which, she reckoned, was several hundred metres. It stopped about 80 metres short of the top of the ravine, and it looked to Nancy as if the three were cutting their way up and out of the ravine.
Nancy McGinley of the European Space Agency, on Earth, and, I just thought you sounded familiar. Is it you, Bip?"
"It's Gumgogger Umterwackle, Nancy. And can you call me down in front of the lads?"
yelled the voice back.
"What lads? What are you doing down in the ravine?"
"The rest of the Hobble of Granicker Defence League, Nancy. We decided to unsplit the split in the organisation after the Wizard Oberon stuck us down here. You know, many hands make light work. Besides, Charles Ronaldbeck was the real traitor, and now he's dead. Plus, we have a common enemy in Oberon. Anyways, can you keep the yelling down? He's got hearing like a zombie cat."
Nancy's eyes were beginning to adjust to the light of day and the downwards perspective. She could now see that they were indeed cutting a terrace upwards into the rock slope by hand. Well, by axe, to be exact. But it was still heavy work.
"Did you not hear me, Nancy? Can you give us a hand getting out?"
Nancy's head still throbbed with the effects of her halubleberry breakfast. She was also still slightly dizzy and making sure to keep the part of her body that extended from the neck down well inside the edge of the ravine. Only the top of her head and her eyes extended out of the edge.
"Nancy, can you get us out?"
Nancy could not think of a single way of getting Bip and his two co-excavators up the last 80 metres of the ravine.
"Ah, come on, Nancy. You're an astronaut. You're supposed to be able to improvise in tricky situations. You must be able to think of something."
A tinge of doubt about the realness of the situation entered Nancy's hungry, sleep-deprived, halubleberry-addled brain.
"How did you know what I was thinking?" she asked.
"Why are you asking me? This is all the wizard's doing. Can you not think of a way of getting us up out of here?"
shouted Bip.
"Ugh," said Nancy. "How did you get down there?"
"Magic."
"Right," said Nancy. "Magic, right, well, ugh, I suppose
maybe you can swing up on the vines." "Spangordial vines would work, Nancy, but be quick about it. We need to get out of here before Oberon turns up."
Nancy crawled back from the edge of the ravine, stood up and looked towards the trees, and was faced with a magician, a neatly dressed stage magician, with a small black and white tipped wand, a top hat and an angry expression.
"You. You're a woman,"
stated the magician confidently.
"Huh?" replied Nancy. "A human woman."
Nancy struggled to her feet. Her head was throbbing and she still felt dizzy, but was sure she was far enough away from the sharp, rocky edge of the ravine for it to be safe enough to stand. She blinked and rubbed her eyes. The magician's clean, carefully ironed suit stood in stark contrast to the wild, thick forest growth behind him.
"Who are you?"
she asked.
"Human women are great at washing clothes, and I need someone who is great at washing clothes,"
stated the magician.
"You sure do,"
agreed a voice from within the trees.
"I beg your pardon, Schlocked, because if I heard what I thought I heard, you'd be digging up the Nongable Gully with those three Hobble of Granicker diehards, and we both know I'm just going to keep making the sides a little bit taller every day. So, tell me again what you said about me."
replied the magician. A small, fat humanoid emerged from the trees behind the magician. He was dressed in tattered, nondescript clothes and reverently holding what looked like a large book wrapped in green cloth.
My apologies, Oblerong. What I meant was that you don't need someone to wash your clothes because you don't smell,
said the small, fat humanoid who had just emerged from the trees.
Who are you?
Asked Nancy. She glanced back to the ravine and wondered if Bip could hear what was happening. That was if anything real was actually happening at all. Her stomach churned.
I'm the wizard Oblerong, replied the magician. And I want you to dedicate the rest of your life to washing my clothes, he added.
Nancy looked around her. The ravine gouged a crack in the landscape that stretched as far as she could see. It opened the tree canopy to sunlight and made everything dazzle and seem unreal. My name is Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency on Earth, and thanks for the offer, but no. Nancy paused for a second. Her stomach continued to churn. For a brief moment, she felt as if she was going to vomit again. But it passed, and she asked,
What made you say human women are great at washing clothes?
Observations. Simple observations, Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency. Because the uniform of Commander Staunton from the European Space Agency was spotless, as if he never did any work in it. And yet he has travelled all the way from Earth. And the same goes for his three human underlings. Observations. It's what wizards are good at. And I can see that your uniform is mucked up, which means you must wash the others, and not your own. Therefore, you are a washer of clothes. And will do fine for what I want.
Nancy could feel her memory coming into sharp focus. Jerry Staunton is alive and has made contact with the crew of San Laika 2.
Where is Commander Staunton? Is he okay? And the others, have you spoken with them?
That is none of your business. But as you're going to be my clothing servant forevermore, I will answer your questions, replied the magician. Commander Staunton is with Sosman Barkstapple in his roost in Sosman City. And he is well enough. The others are with him too. I've spoken to them briefly. Now, Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency, Schlocht here will bring you to your washing lair.
I said I didn't want to be your servant, snapped Nancy.
She was feeling frustrated. She needed to know more about her colleagues. She was about to ask after Jerry when something in her halubleberry mush addled consciousness told her to be careful and change the subject.
It's a bit sexist of you to specify that a woman should wash your clothes, wizard, she added. It is not, replied the magician. For it is written in the Book of Bongerland that, regardless of species, the washing of vestments is the domain of females. And they use that book on Mars too. So, you know, it's doubly true.
Show her, Schlocht.
The small, fat humanoid shuffled towards Nancy. Nancy sidestepped, half-turned and faced him as he did. This meant that the ravine, and possibly Bip, and the rest of the now reunited Hobbler Graniger Defence League was to her right, and the magician to her left.
Don't worry, said the magician. Neither me nor Schlocht intend to throw you into the gorge. Washerwomen are hard to come by on Jupiter, especially in the Forest of Proverbs. I save that particular punishment for the members of the Hobbler Graniger Defence League for daring to go up against my buddy, Sosman.
Small, fat humanoid carefully removed a cloth and turned the pages of a large red book, stopped at a page and read aloud.
Page 1834 of the Chorus of Fanunkadunk, line 87, indent 6. Fairly, you may eat a spontaliger at all moments in the whole day, save the full of the sun, whence reverence must be given to the gut, or his appointed representative.
Huh? Said Nancy.
Indeed, replied the humanoid. Oh wait, sorry, not that one. I meant to read the line 85, indent 6. They're similar. I dictate to all who have ears that your clothes must be kept clean.
Eh? Said Nancy for a second time.
What's that got to do with women? Everything, because the must in that indent is of the feminine form, implying it is meant for females, and everything in the Book of Bongerland has a reason. So now, consider yourself educated, Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency. See for yourself, said the humanoid,
who offered two grubby hands reverently holding a large page of indecipherable symbols up to Nancy's face.
Those symbols don't make any sense to me, she said.
And neither to me, interrupted the wizard Oblerong. And it is because of that I allow this dipstick to tag along with me on my many magical duties, so he can translate the Book of Bongerland for me. Although sometimes I wonder, is it just a waste of time? And now is one of those times. Anyways, enough of this messing. By the power of Bongerlon, you will wash my clothes, and that's that.
The magician then swung a small black and white wand skywards. Nancy sniggered.
You may laugh now, Nancy McGinley from the European Space Agency, but you're about to fall under my spell.
The magician then cleared his throat with a cough and yelled,
Agala bobble, splobble, garunkachunk, flunk.
Nancy felt her eyes get heavy and her knees buckle and her world went black.
Nancy, are you okay? How would you be okay, Martina? She just puked everywhere and ran off demented into the woods. I'm telling you, it's a good job she did go daft. If she hadn't been ranting about Jerry Staunton and Wizard's Laundry, we'd never have found her. If she had not gone daft, then she would not have ran off. I wouldn't have to look for her. Wizard's Laundry ranting or not, Bart?
Nancy opened her eyes to discover herself sitting waist deep in purple ferns.
How are you feeling? Asked Bart.
Where am I?
Jupiter,
answered the sheriff.
What happened? You killed that creature that killed Breach Tantalion back in chapter 12 and then ran off and then started ranting and then passed out
out here, said Bart. I wouldn't have found you, only you were raving like a lunatic.
It was the berries, Nancy, explained Martina.
Bip is back at the stream raving about the Hobble Granicker Defence League.
And calling out your name.
Nancy struggled to her feet. She no longer felt dizzy, but her mouth was dry and her head throbbed with dehydration. She brushed dirt from the ASA uniform and looked around. There was no ravine in sight, only trees and Bart and Martina and the sheriff.
Is Bip okay? She asked.
He fell asleep, replied Bart. Well, passed out. And then started ranting.
And pissed himself. Bart gestured behind him. Unlike you, Bip stayed put by the stream, he added. Come on, we should head back there. You need to drink something.
The journey back to the stream did not take long. Nancy had not travelled far during her dream state, or if she had done, it was around in circles. In any case, the group only had to walk for about 30 metres between the trees to arrive at the left bank of the stream, where Bip was sitting in the shingle and rubbing his eyes.
Ah, there you all are, he said. I must have fallen asleep.
Bip struggled to his feet. A large wet patch extended from the crotch of his orange boiler suit and made its way down his legs as he stood up. He rubbed his eyes and looked at Bart, Martina, Nancy and the sheriff in turn. His eyes returned to Nancy.
I had the weirdest of dreams, he said. The wizard Oblerong had captured me and the two other members of the Hobble Granicker Defence League and cast us into Nongabai Gully and we had to dig our way up out of it.
How can you dig up?
Interrupted the sheriff.
That was a stupid dream.
You dig up by cutting a terraced ledge into the side of the rock wall of Nongabai Gully so you can climb up. There's nothing stupid about that and it's probably a lot better than any of your dreams.
It is not, replied the sheriff.
I saw you, said Nancy. I mean, I saw you in a dream with two others digging up.
You were in my dream too, replied Bip.
Only you wouldn't help us out of the gully.
I couldn't. The wizard Oblerong was there and his friend had a book and he wanted me to wash clothes.
Sounds like Oblerong all right, agreed Bip.
I see now why you didn't get round to helping me out.
Are you two gone cracked? Interrupted Bart.
You're talking about your dreams as if they were real.
Yes, agreed the sheriff.
Like I said, daft.
You said stupid, said Bip.
Same thing.
The group briefly fell silent for several minutes. The reflected sunlight from the stream made the valley seem peaceful. Bip broke the silence with
I heard some strange chanting coming from the top of the gully before I woke up.
What was it? Asked Nancy.
It sounded like a longa bobble slobble, grunch a chunk flunk,
interrupted Nancy.
That's exactly it.
So both of our dreams were real.
I don't know what to think, Bip, said Nancy.
Well, I do. There's no way that's a coincidence.
It's a sign. And you know what that sign is telling us to do?
Asked Bip.
Not eat mushed halubal berries for breakfast, suggested Bart.
No, said Bip.
It's telling us we need to make peace with the others and reform the Hobble Granicker Defence League, or at least I should.
How did you take that from it? Asked Bart.
Jupiterian logic is how, replied Bip. Come on, I've an idea where their lair might be, and it's not far.
Bip then turned and began walking downstream, making sure to give the slumped, lifeless body of the Tangagan a wide berth as he did. Martina shrugged, looked at Bart, Nancy and the sheriff, and followed. The sheriff, possibly for want of a better plan, followed Martina, who was followed by Nancy.
Nancy! Said Bart. Don't forget your crossbow.
He picked it up for where it had been discarded in a pile of puke, rinsed it quickly in the river and handed it to Nancy.
Just in case we run into another one of those yokes, he said, pointing to the remains of the Tangagan.
Nancy paused to cup her hands and drink quickly from the stream.
Bart, there's more to my dream than Bip's mates digging and some laundry, said Nancy when she'd finished drinking.
I'm glad to hear it.
I think Jerry and the others are still alive.
Good. Maybe they'll know where to get something to eat.
And that was it for the early morning on the third day of the first human crewed visit to another planet. Two simultaneous and similar dreams, a wizard slash magician in need of a laundrette, a Martian sheriff, a Martian waitress slash astronaut, European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow, European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Goodaim McGinley, and a Jupiterian called Gumgulliger Unterwackle, or Bip, on a Halubleberry inspired mission to reunite the Hobble Granicker Defence League. And that was chapter 17 and 18 next week. Thanks for listening.